listening to the G-Ray Records Music Network. You enjoy.
Welcome, you curious minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're plunging into a stack of sources that reveal the extraordinary journey of a real luminary in music. We're talking about a veteran, a visionary, and yeah, what sources are calling a cultural architect of Jamaican music.
That's right. We're looking at the life and work of Gussie Clark. This is a man who, well, he didn't just make a huge impact on early dancehall back in the 70s. He also really pushed reggae into the digital age in the late 80s, put together an incredible catalog hits, albums that, you know, still resonate today.
Yeah, absolutely. So our mission here is to kind of unpack his unique approach to production, those groundbreaking innovations, and the legacy that really cements him as one of reggae's most influential figures. How did this creative thinker from Church Street, Kingston become such a pivotal force, shaping not just the sound, but the whole business side of Jamaican music? Let's get into it.
Okay, so let's start where Gussie himself calls Homemaker Recording Studios in Kingston, Jamaica. It's actually the largest recording facility there now, which, wow, says a lot about how far he came, right?
Definitely. From those roots on Church Street, he described himself, didn't he, as an instinctively creative thinker and never complacent. That feels like more than just ambition. What does that tell us about him, even back then?
Well, it tells us he wasn't sitting around waiting. He was making things happen. Even as a kid, he starts this small sound system, King Gussie Hi-Fi. Mm-hmm. But pretty quickly, he sees this bigger picture, this opportunity to connect the dots in that whole music scene that was just bubbling up.
Okay, so next step, importing and exporting records. That sounds like a smart move. What was the significance there for a young guy trying to get into production? Seems like it put him right in the thick of things.
Exactly. It totally did. That move, it just naturally connected him with, well, basically all the players who were making music.
Yeah.
Down in downtown Kingston. That was the hub, you know, for music, for sound systems, everything. So boom, he's got this amazing network. And that early success, those connections, they just fueled his ambition. Started importing gear, building a home studio. Even taught himself how to cut dubs upstairs at Island Sound System. You know, those instrumental tracks with effects that DJs loved. So selling records to the sound systems, it basically created this built-in clientele for him. A natural clientele, as the sources say, even before he'd properly produced much.
Right. And he wasn't just figuring it out alone. Our sources mentioned he got tips from guys like Lee Perry, Channel One, on cutting those dubs, so he's learning, absorbing. But then he did something really innovative with 8-track tapes. Tell us about that. How did that specific tech shift things?
Oh yeah, that was a big one. A game changer, really. Using 8-tracks meant he could separate the music tracks from the vocal tracks. And that just opened up all these new possibilities for, like, clever sound effects, spring reverbs, you know, that classic dub sound. He was cutting dubs like crazy, not just for Jamaica, but internationally, too. He called it an unintended evolution. Like, he was just chasing quality, and innovation sort of happened.
It really sounds like he was, you know, building a startup before that was even a common term. You get that relentless entrepreneurial vibe. And support is key, right? His mother played a big role, didn't she? She understood the enthusiasm, encouraged him. That's huge for any young creative.
Absolutely essential. And you see that resourcefulness even when he was at Kingston College, learning woodwork just to build his own sound system boxes, saving his lunch money for speakers, parts. There's that story about swapping an amp for a transformer with another sound guy, Witty. I mean, these early hustles, they clearly laid the groundwork for everything that came later.
No kidding. And it paid off fast. His first single, 1972, he's only 18, U-Roy's The Higher the Mountain. That's jumping right in.
It really is a strong start. And because he already had that network from the sound systems, it just naturally led him to U-Roy and other early DJs like Big Youth. He did Screaming Target with Big Youth, another iconic track.
Yeah, the spirit of that time seems really interesting. DJs were the key people for rhythms, for getting those instrumental tracks, right? And making specials, custom versions for their sound systems. And Gussie had this direct line to them.
Exactly. And then as he's doing the import to export thing with records, it's just a natural step to start working more with vocalists too.
Mm.
He mentions reaching out to artists who are already self-producing, self-distributing, shows he was watching where things were heading.
Okay, so let's talk about his production philosophy. The sources say he was very directly hands-on, always in the studio, directing, choosing, being careful of exactly what I know I want and what they are willing to deliver. That sounds like it requires a careful touch, managing artists' expectations versus his vision.
Definitely. And he had this sharp business sense too, always focused on the song's success. He could separate the creative from the commercial, always asking what is best for this song. Not necessarily what's best for the singer. That's why, you know, Rumors, which was maybe going to be for Mighty Diamonds, ends up with Gregory Isaacs. Or just a little bit longer, he tried it with Dennis Brown, but gave it to Maxi Priest. It was all about maximizing that song's potential.
That kind of thinking, that forward focus, leads right into 1988. Founding Music Works Studio, this is where he really pioneers digital reggae production, right? That slick, crossover-ready sound. A big shift.
It was huge. But what's interesting is Gussie apparently saw the digital shift as almost coincidental. Like, it wasn't some deliberate plan to go digital. It just came from always chasing better quality. And unlike most folks in Jamaica using MCI gear, he specifically went to the UK for different brands. He believed difference is what brings success. Which, you know, that's core innovation principle right there. Don't just follow the crowd. Actively look for what's different.
And that resourcefulness again. I read something about a bathroom becoming a vocal booth. Is that right?
Yep. Turned a bathroom into a vocal booth. Classic Gussie ingenuity making it work. And people were into this new digital sound. Why? Because, as he put it, the songs have great quality. He felt Jamaicans love creativity. They expect and love new things. So others got to kind of play catch up to his sound. And Music Works eventually grew into Anchor Recording Studios, which, as we said, is this major state-of-the-art place today.
Okay, so if we need one perfect example of Gussie's sonic vision shaping reggae's digital evolution, it's got to be Gregory Isaacs' Rumors, 1988, a defining moment, smack in the middle of that digital transformation. What was so special about that track?
Rumors.
Yeah.
She had this incredible vibe. It was smooth, seductive, and edgy all at once. Kind of fused that smoother lover's rock style with a real streetwise dancehall feel.
Mm-hmm.
And lyrically, it's about gossip, betrayal, but delivered with that cool confidence only Gregory Isaacs had. Like a warning wrapped in silk, as one source described it.
Wow. And Gussie's production, The Wizardry, gave it cinematic weight, layering those crisp drum machines, atmospheric synths, tightly engineered vocals. Using computerized rhythms gave it that fresh, polished sound, but it didn't lose the emotion, right? Elevated the peck without losing the heart.
Exactly. And You know, working with Gregory Isaacs sounds like it was quite the experience.
Yeah.
Gussie called him the most quick-witted human being he ever met. Said Isaacs would never sit down and write one line. Apparently, he'd just make up songs like Nick of Time right there on the spot. Hilarious, talented guy.
That's amazing, that spontaneity. And Rumors just blew up culturally. Became a staple of late 80s dance hall, inspired so many other tracks, really left its mark. But Gussie wasn't just about the music in the studio. He made big waves on the business side, too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Huge impact there. He was reportedly the first Jamaican producer to issue regular royalty statements and really get into music publishing properly. That created a sustainable legacy for artists, which was pretty groundbreaking in a scene that wasn't always, let's say, transparent financially.
Right, and he was actively developing artists too, bringing in writers, creating demos, even when artists were maybe hesitant at first, like J.C. Lodge with Telephone Love. She was apparently negative initially, and look what happened, became a massive hit.
Yeah, it shows his belief. Quality of content is king. He could spot the good elements in a song and knew how to refine them.
And speaking of artists he worked closely with, it's incredibly sad about the recent passing of Tabby and Bunny from the Mighty Diamonds. They were such an integral part of his career.
It really is tragic. And what's so poignant is Gussie had just approached them, like 3 months before, about a new project. Had all the songs written, titles like A Masterpiece, Diamonds Are Forever, but they never got to record them. Just heartbreaking.
Oh, man. That really underscores Gussie's belief in that unseen value, doesn't it? The spirit and the camaraderie and the vibe in the studio. Music being more than just notes. And his commitment carries on. That donation, $100,000 to build a pro studio at Edna Manley College. That's investing in the future.
It definitely is. And that connects perfectly to the advice he gives young producers today. First, he says, you need to love what you're doing. Money's important, sure, but it can't be the primary factor. Passion first.
Good advice. He also calls out something he hears often, calls it the stupidest thing. Artists who won't sing a song just because they didn't write it. He's like, you haven't even listened to the song. A song make it a singer sing. He really pushes that one song can change your career, your life around. Focus on the song's quality, not just authorship.
Yeah, which leads to maybe his most crucial point, the absolute importance of collaboration. He argues that Jamaica's greatest era of innovation arose from collaboration when you have multiple peoples working together.
And he warns against that me factor, the one man thing. You know, my studio, me mix it, me record it, me the artist, me the manager. He says that gets you nowhere, hasn't created any innovation. He even points to Bob Marley's ongoing success after his death as proof of collaboration's power. Marley still sells more records than nearly every Jamaican combined together. Strong point.
It really is.
Yeah.
So his final word on it is basically, teamwork make the dream work. And crucially, never be ungrateful to the team that worked. Success, he says, is much more than talent. It is teamwork.
It's just fascinating, isn't it? Gussie Clark didn't just make music. He really did transform an industry, blending that, you know, analog soul with digital precision, always challenging things to lift artists up, elevate the whole craft, a true cultural architect mixing vision with like real practicality. Music Works became this engine, driving crossover hits, building rhythms we still hear today. His catalog really is a goldmine if you're interested in legacy, empowerment, telling cultural stories. So what does all this mean for you? Listening.
Well, brings up a really good question, I think. In your own work, your own life, where might you be falling into that me factor trap? Where could collaboration maybe unlock something bigger, more innovative? And how could embracing that spirit Gussie had, that unintended evolution, maybe lead you to your next breakthrough?
That's definitely something to chew on. And like Gussie himself said, there's apparently more to come from him. We hope this deep dive encourages that same spirit in you. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive.
come down, it paint the sky. Me see the truth, me no ask why. The wind whisper secret, it never lie. Jah light shine, even in the storm. My soul reborn, my soul transform. Lion heart beat, strong and true. Feel it deep, it guide me through. Lion heart beat, make my move. The rhythm of life, me can't refuse. Lion heart beat, strong and true. Feel it deep, it guide me through. The fire blaze, but me no fear. Me roots go deep. Them always near, the stars them chance. Jah always here. Lion heart beat, strong and true. Feel it deep, it guide me through. Lion heart beat. Make me move. The rhythm of life, me can't refuse. Lion heart beat, strong and true. Feel it deep, it guide me
through. Listening to the G-Ray Records Music Network. You enjoy